One of her best friends in Nashville was Billy Walker. They used to fuss fight over songs sometimes. There was this one time Billy was preparing to record a new song called Funny How Time Slips Away, and Virginia heard him singing it beforehand. She said, "Billy, I want to record that song." Billy flat out refused. It was his song, he said. Virginia couldn't have it. Well, they argued back and forth for a while until Billy said, "Look, this friend of mine from back home wrote a song for me. It's a good song. You can have that one." Virginia was suspicious. If it was that good, why wasn't Billy going to sing it? He said, "Well, it's not right for me, but it would be great for you if Virginia would just give it a listen." So Billy Walker gave Virginia Hensley a demo recording of the song that he didn't want, and she took it home, and she played the record, and a few seconds into the tune, she screamed. Actually screamed out loud. Not only did Virginia detest the song, but she'd heard it before, had heard her husband Charlie playing it on the hi-fi only a few days previous. She had despised the song then, and she despised it now, only now she was curious as to where Charlie had gotten the recording. Charlie said a fellow at a bar gave it to me. He claimed he'd written the song on the demo, and he was singing it too. Well, Virginia's furious. "I hate that song," she declared, and she called Billy Walker right away to tell him so and to tell him off, but now we're getting to the rest of the story. Billy Walker never did let Virginia Hensley have that other tune called Funny How Time Slips Away. He recorded it himself, and that was that. Well, they stayed friends all right, even though they never did stop fussing over songs. But let me tell you what happened to the number that Billy tried to palm off on Virginia. She went ahead and recorded it anyway. Very probably, at least partly, to spite Billy Walker. And even after she recorded it, she still thought the song was terrible. But this year, 1992, America's jukebox operators took a poll and announced that the most popular jukebox song of all time, you understand what that means? That means one song of all of the songs that folks have ever paid money to play. That song is the song Virginia Hensley hated, but recorded anyway. In fact, it was that very recording that had made jukebox history, unequaled even to this day. Now, you know Virginia Patterson Hensley by another name, Patsy Cline. And her most popular recording ever, the one recording played more frequently on jukeboxes than any other ever, it's called Crazy. Patsy Cline first heard it and hated it in 1960 on a demo recording made by a fellow who wrote the song, Billy Walker's buddy, a young Texas tunesmith named Willie Nelson. Now you know the rest of the story.
Protecting what matters on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. PWM is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore current events, our history, community, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. This hour's guests, first of all, Stacy Korsgaden, commissioner or candidate for California Insurance Commissioner. Stacy, welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here, Barry. Thank you.
And I think this is your first visit as an official candidate. I think the last time you were thinking about it.
This is the first time. I did speak to Karen about this, but this is definitely the campaign is going strong and up and running.
Good. And you know, you have the audience. I want you to know you have three insurance geeks in studios. So anything you need to know about insurance of any kind,
we should be able to figure it out.
If we can't figure it out, we'll fake it. How's
that? I have to say, I feel like I'm amongst two giants with you two. Well, it's great to be here.
Thank you. So, folks, we're going to talk about the vital role of the California Department of Insurance and the Insurance Commissioner, because this is a department that actually makes money for the state of California.
It does.
And it's important that you know what it's doing, and when you ask yourself, why are we having problems? Why can't I get homeowners insurance, or how come I don't have the same choice of products here in California that other states do? You just have to look north to Sacramento.
That's right.
And we're going to talk about that. And this is absolutely one of my pet peeves in my many years in the insurance business of the lack of a department of insurance that it really is our consumer advocates. We want to talk about some of the allegations of corruption and fraud at the Department of Insurance as well, because something that Dave and I touched on in other states, well, you know, believe me, you know, we've got our share here, and I think it's something that needs to be cleaned up. And finally, you know, we're going to talk about Stacy's proposal. She's got it up on her website now, and we'll talk about that. But basically, her sustainable insurance strategy and how it will help homeowners insurance markets and other insurance markets as well. So thank you both for being here. All right.
You're welcome, Barry.
Call in with questions or comments, 805, or text 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So, Stacy, most folks know that you've been a successful property and casualty insurance broker, as well as a life agent and a financial advisor. You've also run for county supervisor. So what are the factors motivating you to seek office of the Office of Insurance Commissioner, and why do you think you're qualified for the job?
Well, first of all, thank you again for having me on. And I have been a licensed insurance agent for 35 plus years. So there's a lot of experience there, which I can say for those listening, there's never been since the 80s, there's never been a commissioner that's had any experience or been licensed. But correct. What qualifies me in particular is for those 35 plus years, I've sat with families and business owners and designed protection, designed plans to protect the families in our communities. So in the event there was a catastrophic loss, they were properly prepared and covered. So insurance is a promise and it's a commitment. And people need to be properly insured by companies that are strong, that can be there in hard times and good times. And we need local agents to design plans and protection for people in our communities. And so the reason I'm running right now is I see that the system is failing, like so many other systems we're seeing. But the insurance system itself in California is failing, and I want to tell your listeners and tell them that there's hope, because the insurance industry is something that with discipline, good, sound, conservative decisions and direction and leadership, it can be restored.
What are the top two or three things that you think are the biggest failures?
Well, if we go to a really brief history lesson, is what happened, and I call it a fork in the road, in 1988, California very narrowly voted for Prop 103. And Dave, I think you would agree with this.
I do.
So when Prop 103, when we took that fork in the road, I'll call it what it is, it was socialism. And it's been a slow burn. It's been a slow boil, and we are reaping the decisions that we made because we have price control and we have overregulation. And we're seeing that in different parts of the world, what happens when those decisions are made and we have governments that are making these decisions. We have scarcity of product. Well, we have that in California.
Right now, there is no product. There's very little product in the state of California.
And we have rising premiums.
Correct.
We have rising costs. So if we look at where we are and why we are here right now, it's because we do not have a free market.
So, I mean, in essence, Prop 103 in 1988, that was kind of the fork in the road that kind of turned the Department of Insurance from its primary mission of having healthy insurance markets in the state to being more of a consumer advocate. Would you say it in that way?
I would say it a little bit differently, okay. Because really the role of the
You're not supposed to disagree with me. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. No, it's fine.
Well, the role of the department is consumer advocacy, mm-hmm. to protect the consumer. Mm-hmm. The difference is what's the right way to do it. Mm-hmm. And right now we have... Currently, let's pick on the guy that's in there right now, Ricardo Lara.
Why not?
He has been in there for two terms, and he came in with no experience, and he was literally selected. He was selected. And so who's been making these decisions for 8 years? I would definitely argue it wasn't him. Mm-hmm. And what has happened, it has become a very political role. And so it is very political expedient. Wouldn't you say, Dave?
I would.
Because if you're a politician and you can say, hey, I saved my consumer X amount of dollars by not allowing the insurance company to raise rates, that looks good on the resume. But to what extent? To the extent of literally destroying the insurance industry in California.
The long-term effect of his policies has destroyed insurance in California.
Absolutely. And I'm sure Dave and I are in agreement with this too, is the best way to make a company behave is through competition. If we have a company that is allowed to price the way that they see fit and they have overpriced, the best thing to do is to get multiple companies be right behind them and start taking my market share. It's not the best way, the best way to do that is through competition, not through government regulation.
Right. And again, yeah, I mean, I think the term is the Department of Insurance, it needs to create the level playing field to have good, healthy insurance markets so that insurance companies can make money so they can pay claims.
Okay. That's consumer advocacy right there.
Right. And have creative products to solve multiple needs.
Absolutely.
And not be just like, it's just one size fits all kind of stuff, which is socialism.
It is. It's cookie cutter. And I know that before I sold my agency in 2023, my personal lines book, I noticed that there were some removal of individual, unique type policies. They were starting to get rid of those. I don't know if you've seen that, Dave.
Yes.
And so the choice is being decreased.
That is very true. We don't give our customers too many choices right now.
Mm-hmm. And there's some people that, let's say that they have a farm and ranch, or they have a policy that is out, past the city limits. That individual might not want to insure everything. They might want just liability.
Correct.
They might want to uniquely cover their risk. And that is becoming less and less desirable for the insurance company because of these regulations that are stifling that.
That is very true.
And so when we look at competition as the insurance commissioner, how do we bring that back? Mm-hmm. We have to welcome back innovation, and by doing that, we're going to bring more companies back into the state of California.
There you go. And again, that leads me to my next point. I think that one of the things that most folks who are listening don't know is, number one, since so much commerce and business requires insurance, if we don't have healthy insurance markets, business will come to a grinding halt in this state.
It will.
And even more importantly, the California Department of Insurance actually makes money for the state of California.
It makes a lot of money.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I mean, it pays its own expenses, its operating expenses of about $350 million a year. And then it raises in licensing fees and premium taxes close to $4 billion a year.
Now, that goes to the general fund.
And that goes to the general fund.
Right. Now, the $350 million that is raised for licensing both the insurance companies and, like Dave and I and you, we have insurance licenses. Those are fees. Mm-hmm. So those are going to the Department of Insurance. So $350 million is a large budget for any department in the state. And so, but when we look at the $4 billion that's going to the general fund, that's a lot of money too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. So one of the things that I want to try to get this in before the break, and then we're to turn back to the corruption question.
Sure.
Okay. But so, and again, I don't want to be overly wordy here, but as you both know, back in the early 80s and 90s and through 90s really, and through 2010, I was deeply involved in long-term care insurance implementation and legislation in California. And this included bringing this line of businesses into compliance with HIPAA. And one of my pet peeves today is that California has always been years behind other states.
Yes.
In approving innovative long-term care insurance policies that are cost-effective for consumers.
Right.
And I'm suspecting that it's probably a similar issue for all lines of insurance. For instance, and I know most products, 42 states use the Interstate Insurance Compact. So when they don't have to go to each individual state to get policies approved. So, why is the deal, in your mind, why is the California Department of Insurance so glacial in removing, in approving new products? Because it's new products that gets more revenues into the state.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it solves more problems for the consumer. Mm-hmm. To back what you were saying, as a farmer's agent, we had a life insurance policy. We always wanted to have a long-term care endorsement mm-hmm. on our life policies. We never could get it approved. I think it was 20 years we wanted that thing. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, that is stopping innovation. And I believe the Department of Insurance probably is trying to regulate and make those changes in-house.
Mm-hmm.
And those, if we have an organization, which is this compact, it's the Interstate Insurance mm-hmm. Compact. And what they do is it's basically an organization that will take insurance policies and innovation and say, okay, this meets all of the criteria. This is the form that it'll fall. And then different states should be able to approve it a lot faster. Mm-hmm. California's not a part of it. It should be.
Well, and we'll get into this a little bit on the fraud side, but it sounds as that Ricardo Lara also has a pay-to-play system.
Yes.
And that slows things down as well, because he's not doing things for the consumers at that point. He's doing them for himself.
I think he's the one thing that I'm sure Barry will want to get into this, but the one thing that really bothered me was a private dinner at the cost of $750. I saw the menu, and with one CEO of an insurance company, it doesn't look right. It really reeks of a fraud. And special favors, and that needs to stop.
Agreed.
Yeah. Well, and again, I think that what's, and I'll just tell you what'll happen, and what I'd like you to think about, maybe we'll talk about it on another show, is when you get elected.
Yes.
Okay. You'll walk in the first day to your first meeting with all your department heads, and you'll want to make changes, and the first thing they're going to say is, well, we can't do that because of CIC, which stands for California Insurance Code, section yada, yada, yada. And so we have to get legislative changes.
Right.
And to make the California Department of Insurance not be such a huge bureaucracy, a stumbling block to innovation.
Well, that's one part of my plan, is to advocate for change on the legislative side. And, mm-hmm. and a good example of that is wildfire, working with the fuel in our national and state forests in our communities. That's not something that the insurance commissioner has any control over. It's going to take partnership from our assembly and our Senate. But that is part of being an advocate for a healthy insurance environment. It's going to take leadership. It might take changes with codes and part of the law. But that's going to be working with people up in Sacramento.
Yeah, you'll need a really robust legislative team.
I anticipate you'll be going up there with me up to Sacramento.
I'm too old for this. I'm too old and crabby.
I'll tell you, I'll have some heavy hitters to make those changes.
I'm not the guy. I'm not the guy. Anyway, let's talk about this before we go to break here in about 3 minutes. Let's talk about this fraud and incompetence and really malfeasance at the California Department of Insurance. You mentioned several different things that our current commissioner was involved with. Would you like to unpack some of that?
Sure. For those of you that might not have seen there was several big news breaks, reporters that talked about disclosing and finding out that our current insurance commissioner took over almost 30 trips, if not more, on the taxpayer's dime, took security. One of them that sticks out in my mind was going to Bermuda to talk to reinsurance companies. Mm-hmm. It was a very short speech, 15 minutes maybe, and then he was there for a week. Mm-hmm. So very upsetting when we're dealing at the beginning of last year, we had the Palisades fire, which I'm going down there tomorrow for the anniversary for several events. While these things were happening, he was traveling, and it speaks to a lot of the leadership in Sacramento that they're either so involved with self and self-interest that they've completely lost sight of their mission.
Mm-hmm.
And so the insurance industry in California, arguably the best in the world, has slipped and is hurting, is in distress, and this guy's traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was really a biggie. You know, some of the other issues, were there some other issues on?
Well, again, there's all kinds of specific things that some watchdog groups have found about the current commissioner here. You know, he took quite a bit of money in campaign contributions.
He did say that he was not going to take campaign contributions from insurance companies, and then he did.
Yeah, so something like $55,000 from Applied Underwriters and other insurers. So yeah, so again, yeah, and I think people need to look at the current. Again, he's gone. You know, the good, but correct. We got to get he's terming out. We got to get the right people in. So, folks, on the other side of the break, we're going to get more specific about what Stacy thinks she'd like to be able to get done on the homeowners insurance, fire insurance issues, and then how she plans to win. Because she can get all this stuff done, we got to win. So, stand by.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care. All your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. President Trump says he will soon meet with oil companies following the capture and arrest of Venezuela's president.
President Trump did not detail when he'd meet with oil companies, but in the days since Saturday's U.S. military raid to capture Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro on federal drug charges, President Trump and other senior administration officials have made clear a desire to reestablish U.S. oil production in the country.
Fox's Jared Halpern at the White House. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is criticizing the Trump administration for sending federal agents to his state.
The war that's being waged against Minnesota, you're seeing it. We have a ridiculous surge of apparently 2,000 people not coordinating with us that are for a show of the cameras.
Now, the White House says they are cracking down on illegal immigration in Minnesota. America is listening to Fox News.
Rich London, you're the mattress specialist, so tell me more about the mattresses on your floor.
Well, I've got some with special covers to make them cooler. I've got them with copper in the cover as well, so you get the benefits of copper just like on the other mattresses. You know, copper has healing powers, so it makes it where you get those things in your mattress, because that's where you're getting your rest and where you rejuvenate your body.
For a good night's sleep tonight and every night, see Rich London. He is the mattress specialist at 13th and Riverside, Paso Robles.
Welcome. Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Stacy Korsgaden, candidate for California Insurance Commissioner. And I have in studio Dave Belmont of Adler Belmont Group. So this is the insurance geek team of San Luis Obispo County. And you can call in or ask. It's time to call. Ask Stacy questions because she's going to be talking about her 10-point plan. I think there's 10 points on your plan that she's got on her website at Stacy.
Stacy4insurancecommissioner.com.
Okay, that's F-O-R commissioner.com.
Correct.
Okay, so if you want to reference this, you can go to your website and your computer, and you can look at this while Stacy talks about some of these plans. You can call in with questions or comments, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So before we get into the specifics, let's zero in on what's the real story. We looked at one article in the New York Post, basically saying that insurance companies, a very recent article, insurance companies are making record profits off climate change panic, not facts. And then there's another article from the III. It's a think tank. I think it's a California think tank, actually, that California insurers are still feeling the impact of the wildfires. So, again, this is not my area of insurance, and but, you know, Stacy and Dave, what's the truth behind insurance companies, and are they making money? Are they losing money? I mean, I think they need to be making money so they can pay claims. I think that's an important thing. But, I mean, where is the truth? I mean, are insurance companies really the bad guys in this picture?
Well, Dave has some interesting statistics, but I would say, just like any business, I think most people can understand that if the insurance companies were making money, just obscene amounts of money, why aren't the insurance companies flocking back to California? So that's number one. And number two, they have been hit so hard with these large claims that, again, remember, the Department of Insurance role is to advocate for the consumer. The insurance companies have a requirement to have money in the bank. It's called reserves for these large claims. So that needs to happen.
I agree, Stacy. Insurance can be cyclical. There are times when insurance companies don't make money. They need to raise their rates so that they can make money. And when I agree with you, when they are making money, then they're writing a lot of different policies. They're able to. Now, they're not here.
Right.
They're not here. So are they making money? Not here in California. I don't believe so.
And it's really hard. Once an insurance company leaves, it's hard for them to come back, isn't it?
It is.
And why is that?
Because of all the regulations. Mm-hmm. So they have to apply for rates. And that's really what the holdup is.
And when it comes to rates, I just was looking at the average if an insurance company should request for a rate through the Department of Insurance, then it should be close to 60 days for that process to, I mean, that's per the regulation. Right now, it's almost 260 days on average. Mm. And that's too long. An insurance company has to be able to plan for good times and bad times.
They have to be able to adapt to what's happening in the economy.
Right.
So top of your list on your 10-point plan, Stacy, is to restore competition and bring insurers back to California. Well, you know, what steps would you take out of the chute to make that happen?
What we were just discussing was the timeliness in determining whether a rate would be acceptable or through the regulation process of 103. If I had a magic wand, I would get rid of Prop 103. We're one of six states in the nation that has this kind of system, and it has not worked. We're showing the rewards or the curse of that Prop 103. But within that, it says that the department has to approve or deny a rate within 60 days, and it's almost taking a year. Right off the bat, if the insurance companies had the security of knowing that a determination would be made quicker, the insurance companies would feel more secure and most likely enter back into the state, or at least start writing.
Yes.
Would you agree with that,
Dave? I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Okay, and one of the we'll talk about this. It's part of my plan as well, but it's so important. When an insurance company determines a rate, it's based on risk. if we look, why was Prop 103 initially voted on? What was in, what was happening in the marketplace back then? We can't lose our history to know why we are here. And what happened was Prop 103 was voted in narrowly because there was a Royal Globe lawsuit against Royal Globe lawsuit, and the Rose Byrd court basically said that insurance companies could be sued. So if we had a traffic accident and I was at fault, Barry, you could sue me, but you also could go after my insurance company and how they how they handled the claim. Well, insurance companies have to have predictable risk models. When that court case came through, it completely messed up the rating factors.
That's interesting. We have a caller. What's your question?
Hi, Barry. Hi, Stacy.
Hi.
And hello, Dave. Well, I want to know what you guys' feelings are on the protection of the shrub called the milk vetch that was the creation of the fire in the Palisades that was more important to try to protect from the previous fire that they didn't put out and kick the fire department out of there. And they created, now, just for disclosure, I worked for L.A. City Fire for 30 years. And I was in October 1978 at the fire at the Palisades, Mandeville Canyon, and Malibu 47 years ago. And we didn't have those situations at that time because we put the fire out and we didn't worry about protecting a milk vetch.
What is, you know, you sound like a milk vetch maven. What exactly is that?
It's just some shrub that grows in those mountain coastal areas that the state felt it was more important in those homes.
Thank you for that question. As the insurance commissioner, I would be a very loud voice in dealing with reality. Climate change has been used as an excuse. Environmental protection of these certain species has decimated the environment, absolutely decimated the environment. And I'll give you an example, the Palisades, the Shaver Lake area. If you go up to those area, it literally looks like the moon. So we have to deal with fire mitigation, reduce the stacked brush. And my plan would be to utilize the 58 county fire safe councils. As a conservative, I feel that decisions are best made locally. And our fire safe council in San Luis Obispo County, Barnett, is exemplary throughout the state of California. And the money comes from the state, and then we deal with our local fire, police, community leaders to mitigate the brush and reduce the fire hazard. And that's got to be a priority to keep insurance rates as low as possible. We have to look past these environmental issues that are destroying our state.
Right. Well, and again, I know the Cattlemen's Association would love to be open to have more grazing and to get rid of all this excess fuel that's out there.
That would be a win-win, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be. I mean, again, the sustainability aspect of it. So bottom line is, you believe that to get more competition, more product out there, that, you know, getting approvals more quickly.
Correct.
And of course, I mean, that would be something that if the California Department of Insurance was participating in the Interstate Insurance Compact, might happen a little more quickly.
Approval of a variety of products.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So we would be looking at a diverse portfolio of products for the consumer, mm-hmm. and for the insurance company. We don't want five companies. We want 50. We want 100. Mm-hmm. We want a variety of companies to come in to fight for our business.
Yes, we do.
And so my concern right now is, okay, right now we have 5-7 really strong companies, and that's concerning.
Not only that, but the ones that are writing business are also being very picky about what they want. They don't want to write in the rural areas because they're the only ones that would be. And redlining is what that essentially is called, and they're being forced to write in the rural areas, and they would be taking on all that risk, and they don't want to. We, like Stacy says, we need 50. We need 100 companies in here doing all of this.
We are at a point in our society with AI and innovation. We have to welcome that in the insurance industry. We can bring in capital that will take on risk that maybe was unimaginable 5 years ago, 10 years ago, because of the innovation that's out there. It's ready to go, and I would welcome that. Another part of my plan is I would like to see insurance premiums tax deductible with the state of California. If we have suppressed rates and we have rates that possibly we don't see the competition right now, my concern is protecting the consumer. If we're going to see increased rates for a while until we get our risk managed, which would be fire, crime, homelessness, all of those things that have just really blown up and have not been handled responsibly, which the insurance companies handle. Once we get the risk mitigated and we have those things more predictable, until that point, I think that we should work with our legislature and have our insurance premiums tax deductible.
Well, I mean, and that's an interesting thing. I mean, one of your positions here is that you would create tax credits and tax credits on your
right,
but also. So where's the money going to come from? I mean, that's the question. I mean, California's scraping bottom at this point.
Well, I'm hoping that we're entering a phase where we are going to find disclosure of fraud from our general fund. And if we were to do that, I think our fraud is rampant. I think that we can shoot example after example from the Department of Insurance not managing their. I would also recommend a full audit of the department right away to look how we can reduce expenses. And we need to be responsible. The department would need to be responsible first. But, you know, where's the money coming from? I think the three of us can name multiple sources where there's been abuse of expenditures through our state. So who suffered? The working class. The people of California, the middle class that are fleeing our state. We have to find relief to keep them here, to have a robust state. And insurance is the quiet pillar of our state. It is the glue that holds everything together. And so, think I would be a strong advocate for that.
According to my research, the California Department of Insurance has three major categories of fraud: automobile, workers' comp, and property, life, and casualty. And the three amount to about $700 million of fraud a year.
That's perpetrated by the individual or the business owner.
Right.
Right. So that's one of the responsibilities of the Department of Insurance is to find fraud and to bring that to justice. Because if we can reduce fraud, that lowers everybody's insurance premium. So that's a big piece of what we would do at the Department of Insurance.
So you don't think they're doing an adequate job right now?
I can't make a determination on that. I don't know. But I am a law and order person. And when I read the cases that the Department of Insurance and the number of cases that went before, you know, their accomplishments, I was not impressed. So that would be definitely examined.
So one of the other topics here that I think is really important to unpack here is, and again, both of you have a lot of experience with this, is way too many people are in the FAIR plan now, the California FAIR plan. So how do you, I guess at this point, reinforce that plan to make sure that they've got the money to pay claims, okay? And in the meantime, get people out of that.
Do you want me? Do you want me to go, Dave?
Stacey, I'm going to defer to you on this.
Okay.
Yes.
So for those that don't know, the FAIR Plan is an insurance company. And it's not a government plan. It is an insurance company. And it's there for the company or the policy of last resort. And throughout my career, I mean, I remember writing a handful of policies through them. I didn't rely on them a lot. Right now, in a lot of instances, it is the only option. Because the private insurance companies are either leaving the state or they're not writing, or they're very limited in what they're writing. So to answer your question, how do we depopulate the FAIR Plan? How do we get policies out of them? Well, we have to strengthen the regular marketplace. How do we strengthen the regular marketplace? We give a period of time. A quantified time based on the statute, it's 60 days, where if they would like to make a rate change, and that includes rate reduction. I understand that there's a big carrier that's looking at reducing their auto rates. If a company wants to change rates, it can't take a year. It has to be file a rate, use a rate, pretty much. And that will allow companies to feel more comfortable to come into the market and start writing again. That's the regular marketplace. The other thing is to be an advocate and a loud, loud voice to managing our risk. Insurance companies, their biggest risk is fire. And we have decades of stacked brush because that nice gentleman that called because of inappropriately.
Greg is not a nice gentleman.
He's a nice man. Because we're not handling our risk, and that would include crime when we have 5 prisons that are closing down.
Correct.
We have homelessness in our right in front of businesses, so businesses are leaving. So we have to advocate for a healthy insurance environment so insurance companies feel really comfortable in insuring in California again. Do you want to add to that, Dave?
I was also going to address the legal environment, the judgments.
Tort reform.
That is big as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because we, you know, we all have liability on our homeowners policies, our auto policies, and those kinds of claims are out of control, and that causes a lot of rate increases. So we have to stabilize the regular marketplace, the State Farm, the Farmers, the Allstates, the Safecos, some of the smaller carriers, bring them back in so companies will then start writing and taking policies out of the FAIR Plan. Because what a lot of people don't know is in the FAIR Plan, those companies are actually still on the hook.
Mm-hmm.
So if, let's say there's $1 billion loss and the FAIR Plan doesn't have the money to pay that claim, which they don't, they're broke, then let's say State Farm has 20% of the market share. State Farm is on 20% of that $1 billion covered through the FAIR Plan. And they don't, State Farm, oftentimes they have not accounted for that in their reserves on the books. So you can, let me just summarize by saying the whole system is sick and unhealthy right now. But like this weekend, for a lot of people that own fruit trees, they know how to prune. They know how to prune a tree. And yes, we need to prune and create an environment where the system is healthy again, and it'll grow.
Yeah. One of your points, we got less than a minute here in the segment here, but do you ensuring accurate and honest replacement cost estimates? What does that mean?
I just read down in an article this morning that the property owners in the Palisades are on average 1.5 million underinsured on their policies. Wow.
That's a lot.
How
does that happen?
That's a lot. Everybody, if you haven't seen your insurance agent in the last 12 months, make an appointment. Have a review.
That is a difficult thing to do as well. We're picking a value today to insure a home for when we really don't know what the cost is going to be to rebuild. And that is difficult, especially with inflation. And then I'm sure down in Palisades, there's a lot of contractors overcharging at some point.
Labor cost, absolutely.
All right. So I hear the bumper music. When we return, we're going to turn to politics and find out how Stacey plans to win this baby. So stand by.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages ending higher and at record levels, with the Dow posting its second record close of the year and hitting a milestone and closing above the 49,000 level for the first time, while the S&P 500 notched its first record close of the year. Most of the 11 S&P 500 sectors finished higher, with tech leading the charge, while energy lagged as crude oil prices fell. This week, investors are focused on the U.S. labor market as the government delivers three separate reports on employment, including the all-important jobs report for December. Shares of SanDisk surged over 26% as investors continue to pour money into the flash memory company. The Dow winners, Amazon, Amgen, and United Health. The Dow decliners, Chevron, Apple, and Travelers. The Dow up 485 points. The Nasdaq higher by 151. S&P 500 up 43. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
I'm alpine skier Michaela Schifrin. I've won the most World Cup ski races in history. But what does success mean to me? Success means discipline. It's teamwork. It's the drive and passion inside of us, and it's why Stifel is one of the fastest growing global wealth management firms in the country. If you're looking for success, surround yourself with the people who will get you there. If you're an advisor or investor, choose Stifel, where success meets success.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult a financial advisor before making any investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location, Paso Robles, refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy, 805-239-0616, or go online, DeltaLiquidEnergy.com.
Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Stacey Korsgaden, candidate for California Insurance Commissioner, and we have Dave Belmont here, our sponsor, Adler Belmont Group, insurance brokers. So, yes, call in with questions, text in with questions, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. Next week's show, this will be one of the more interesting ones, a stretch for Barry here. The first one will be easy. It's Carol Golden, my dear friend. She's written her fourth book, Leading in the New Age, the New Retirement Era. And she's focusing in this book on healthcare expenses in retirement and how most people are not paying attention to those things in their retirement planning. And then in the hour segment, I have two podcasters coming on. Martha McBride, who is a podcaster. The name of her podcast is The Aloof Vagina. And her friend, her local friend, Lori Budd. We're going to be talking about perimenopause. Lori's a co-owner of Dracena Wines. And she's a wine educator and podcaster. And I met Martha through Lori, okay? And I just thought these two gals are going to sit down and talk about wine and menopause and perimenopause. And
I don't think you're going to have to talk much.
No, I'm hoping that that's the case. I've learned a lot. Anyway, is there anything else in your 10-point plan, Stacey, that you'd like to chat about?
I think in our conversation, we've talked about a lot of it. One thing that's a stickler for me is, and in Palisades is a great example, I believe that the Department of Insurance should have a triage center right there at the Palisades. I'm hearing from a lot of complaints that insureds have multiple claims adjusters. They can't get answers. They have questions. The Department of Insurance, to be an advocate, they should have boots on the ground. They should have a MASH-like unit down at the Palisades so insurance companies possibly could be housed there. Consumers could come and ask questions. That should be part of the role of the Department of Insurance. And anytime there's a catastrophe, I would make sure that happened.
All right. Great. So, in the last 3 or 4 minutes we have left, how are you going to win this thing, Stacey? What's the strategy? What are you going to be doing here over the, what are you going to be doing between now and the primary? And then after, what's the plan to get through that first? And then after that?
So, right now, there are, to answer your question, I'm traveling the state. I am traveling to, discuss and talk to groups like Rotaries, Chambers of Commerce, political groups, meet and greets, fundraisers. I'm meeting as many people as I can. And I was telling you earlier, I'm having so much fun doing it. I'm enjoying meeting the consumer and the person, the family and the business owners. I'm getting to hear their issues and their struggles with insurance. I can't wait to help them as the person in that role. But right now, January 1st, it's a new part of the campaign. It's to get ready for the primary, which is the very first week of June. Mm-hmm. There are about 6 candidates declared candidates.
So who's the competition?
Well, probably the one that has the most recognition is Ben Allen. He is a termed out senator from Malibu. There is a Stephen Bradford, a retired senator from the Glendale area. There's a gentleman by the name of Patrick Wolf. I had not heard of. He's a guy from San Francisco. There's also an individual that ran last time. His name is Robert Howell from Northern California, and myself. I am the
You're the only Republican?
No, Robert Howell is a Republican. I'm the only one with any insurance experience, believe it or not. The insurance commissioners since Prop 103, none of them have had any insurance experience. When I win, I will try to somehow make it a requirement that the person that holds that role, it's not a political office, it needs to be someone that has experience. Mm-hmm. So for those of you that would like to follow the campaign, the best way is my website, stacey4insurancecommissioner.com.
Let me go back and ask a question.
Sure.
I'll let you get another plug in for that. So the fellow who's the retiring state senator, did he serve on the insurance committee up in Sacramento and in the assembly or Senate insurance committees?
I can't tell you if he did or not. Mm-hmm. But I have spoken to the people of Malibu because I've been down there several times. And the question is, did he have any involvement, or did he mitigate that whole area down there? And the answer was no. Mm-hmm. Has he been a factor in helping them navigate through this claim process? No. Mm-hmm. So I hope that is the individual I run against. I do.
Mm-hmm. So the plan basically is, you need to try to come in second, at least in the primary.
It's a jungle primary is what they call it. And the top two will go on. Mm-hmm. And so I do feel, I have very strong feelings it's a nonpartisan race, but you do put your party, I am a Republican, mm-hmm. I've been a lifetime Republican, that will be by my name, mm-hmm. And for those of you that are not Republican, I've spent my whole career helping people of all parties, it's never mattered, it's the doing the job the correct way.
Okay, and how can people follow you again? What's the best way?
Stacey4insurancecommissioner.com, and it's STACYFOR.
All right. Dave and Stacy, thank you so much for helping me out today, being here. And good luck, Stacy.
Thank you so much, Barry.
We'll let you check in a few months and tell us how it's going. Okay?
I look forward to it.
All right.
Thank you, Barry.
All right. Thank
you.
Best of luck to you. Thank you, folks.
Thank you,
Dave. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
Join us next Tuesday for Protect What Matters the Most with Barry Fisher. Send your questions and show topic ideas to barry@blazinbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com. Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.